Hello, 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 and welcome, everybody. This is the Patient Players Podcast. You're listening to episode 16. Today is November the 30th of 2019. You have just stumbled upon a podcast of a couple of guys gaming in the slow lane. What we say when we mean kind of playing whatever we feel like, checking out whatever's getting updated, whatever's new. For games we already own, not necessarily jumping on the newest trends, with some exceptions you'll see.
Ooh, you really threw me for a loop there. You're like, things that are new, and I was like, wait, that's not the podcast. And then you hit me with the whole point. For our old games, and I was like, hey, that's the one. That's the patient players I know and love.
So, welcome. I am your host, Jordan. This is my co-host, Daniel.
Hello. Good to see
you
all.
How are you doing today, Daniel?
I'm doing... full bellies, full hearts, you know?
Aww.
Because it has been Thanksgiving week.
It has been Thanksgiving week.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jordan.
Was yesterday a lot of leftovers for you, Daniel?
Yeah, actually. Yeah. My dinner last night was just a big old plate of the usuals. You got the stuffing, you got the ham.
Okay.
You got them sweet potatoes. You know what I'm saying? I'm usually not a fan of the sweet taters, but they were pretty good sweet taters.
Did you know, I only recently learned that yams and sweet potatoes are two distinct vegetables.
I see.
I thought they were the same. They look the same.
You just thought they just had two prepared. Different names?
Yeah, I thought it was like a regional dialect kind of thing.
Oh, interesting.
Like, up north, we got the yams. That was a terrible... I just switched into the one accent I've actually practiced.
Hello, governor. Up north, we got the yams.
All right, so you had some of the usual, but what I want to know about, Jordan, what's unusual about your Thanksgiving meal? Do you have anything weird?
I don't think we did.
Ah, shoot! I screwed it up first!
What? Oh, did... Yeah, the...
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to keep going with it.
Well, I was trying so hard.
probably right, no one even table. Noticed what happened either, you know?
Probably nobody.
So are we just going to keep going and see if anyone notices, or are you going to explain?
I don't know what you're talking about, so how could I notice?
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, so weird meals. I don't think we had any. Can I ask, is mac and cheese a normal Thanksgiving meal?
I think... If I had to give it a World of Warcraft rarity, I would give it an uncommon. Like, it's not at every table, but it's not a surprise to see it.
Nice. Okay. That's the closest I can think of. We didn't have it, but I was sitting there and I wished that we had, you know? So that's the best I can come up with.
Well, I had two Thanksgiving meals because I have two families, being married and all.
Nice.
So we actually did...
That's the true perk of being married, is you get two Thanksgivings and also lots of gifts.
Perk is a questionable... You also have to give lots of gifts, and sometimes you don't feel like having two Thanksgiving dinners. It was very nice this last week. I enjoyed it, so I'm happy that it happened. Only one of them had mac and cheese, though.
Okay, which one? Your family or Marion's family?
It was the in-laws.
Interesting. I would have thought the other way around.
Really? Well, they as an extended family have quite a love for some delicious mac and cheese, so it's at most of their family gatherings.
I mean, I can get behind that.
And it's not like a bowl, it's like a casserole, but it's not literally a casserole, but it's baked in like a dish.
Yeah, like a mac and cheese casserole.
It's got like that top layer of all the crusted cheese and then underneath is all the gooey mac and cheese.
That's not mac and cheese. I don't count that as mac and cheese.
You don't what do you count it as? It's literally macaroni and cheese.
Macaroni and cheese casserole is what I counted as.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The separate dish.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. It's not, you know, you don't go like to the store and you walk up to the man and you're like, hey, I'd like some mac and cheese. And he hands you a mac and cheese casserole. That's, no. When you say you want mac and cheese, he hands you a bowl of mac and cheese, you know?
Well, if you're at a grocery store, they wouldn't hand you a bowl. But I get your point.
What's the restaurant that has really good mac and cheese?
I'm sure there's many of them. What are you talking about?
They also have like
Outback Steakhouse.
No, wait, they have mac and cheese there?
I have no idea. I'm just throwing out restaurant names.
Shoot. It's like a cozy, not quite Cracker Barrel, but similar to Cracker Barrel. I'll get back to you on that.
I would have said Cracker Barrel. All right. What's your opinion on ranking Thanksgiving food using the item rarity scale?
I don't know the item rarity scale because I don't play World of Warcraft.
It's in every game ever. Common, uncommon, rare, legendary. Yeah.
It's funny how it jumps from rare to legendary. That seems like a pretty big jump.
Well, epic. Rare, epic, legendary.
Ah.
You got your whites, you got your greens, you got your blues, your purples, and your orangey yellows. And then some games have artifact, which is white, but like not gray.
Artifact?
Yeah, artifact is like even above legendary. It's like a unique item.
Oh, funny that it's white. Yeah. Because white is usually like common.
Yeah, it's like a special kind of white though, like an off-white.
Ooh, off-white.
It's like a, off-white. Like a glowy white.
I like it.
Yeah.
What?
I was just thinking through foods and their rarities.
Okay, so what was the original question? What was an uncommon food that we had?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What's yours?
Mine, I'm trying to think. So I had two meals, right? I had the turkey, I had the sweet potatoes, not yams, sweet potatoes. I had the stuffing and the gravy and all that. So Marion and I actually brought a pretty non-traditional dish to both of our Thanksgivings. That was our contribution.
Nice.
Frog-eyed salad.
That sounds disgusting.
Have you?
Where did you find the like frogs?
I feel like you've had it when you visited before. Have you not?
I don't know.
It's like an old family recipe that we have that it's fun to have people try it before you tell them what's in it, but it is like a white, fluffy looking, you could describe it as a fruit salad, but it should honestly be a dessert, but it's great because it's called a salad, so you can have it with your meal. But
interesting.
It's like 50% Cool Whip, and then there's like a fruit mixture you have to cook, which takes actually a long time, but it's got like pineapples and mandarin oranges and stuff like that. And it's super sweet and delicious, and there's marshmallows in it. But there's these little beady objects that you call the frog eyes. And those are what's fun to get people guessing what's actually in them and not telling them what it is until they've tried it out.
Well, what's actually in them?
You haven't tried it. How can I tell you?
Could I Google it?
I don't know. I've never tried. It's just a document that my mom has that she sends the family when we want to make it.
Oh,
I just have it saved in iBooks as a PDF.
So,
tell me
okay,
what comes up.
It is a thing.
Okay, it's like a... At what point every family recipe is just a thing somewhere, right? It's just from a book. It's
oh,
just grandma's cookbook.
Frog eye looks really funny when it's all put together as one word.
I think we hyphenate it.
Wait, did you say it's a sweet pasta salad?
I said it was a sweet salad. But yeah, it's there's little pasta balls in it.
Oh, they're pasta.
Yeah.
Ew.
It's delicious. It's one of my favorite holiday foods.
Gross. I'll have to take your word for it, I guess.
Next time you visit, we'll make some.
Nice.
It takes like an hour, but it's fun.
Well,
you gotta make like a boiled, not boiled. Yeah, I guess kind of boiled. You make like a thickened mixture of sugar and juices from the pineapple and stuff like that, and a couple other ingredients.
Well, I guess I'm more relieved that it's pasta and not actual frog eyes.
You'd have to kill so many frogs. That would be a huge quantity of dead frogs.
Well, good thing the government is making so many, you know?
Oh, yes.
So we got a frog surplus on our hands.
Boy, so I'm very full of all of that junk from the last 2 days.
That's good. Two meals, two separate days. Did you get to keep any of the leftovers? Or I guess, did you not?
I did. I got to keep a couple baggies of turkey and stuffing from my parents. And then we got to take all the frog-eyed salad home from my in-laws.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
I think those are the only two full meals I've eaten in the last 2 days. I had breakfast this morning, but the last 2 days before that, I had a bunch of like some granola bars in the morning for breakfast, and then the big meal, and then maybe just like a piece of pie for dessert at the very end of the day or something.
I see. Pumpkin pie?
What?
Also, yes, can you hear the vacuum in the background?
I certainly can't.
Awesome. So, never mind. There's no vacuum.
So what else has been going on in your week, Danny?
It's mostly just been Pokemon still, honestly.
Cool.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't have more for you.
That's fine. You've sent me some stuff throughout the week. Are you still like what, one away, two away from being completely done with your Pokedex?
Yes, I'm two away. I'm stuck at 398. And I can't get any further because the last two are exclusive to the one I don't have. For those of you who don't know, Pokemon games usually come out in twos, where they make two very, very similar games, but there's a few select differences between the two, like the Pokemon you can catch or the people you fight, etc., etc. So I have Sword, and in the Shield copy, there's some exclusive ones that are exclusive to that game that I can't get yet, and it's very sad. However, I put on my thinking hat today, and I asked my sister for her login. So I downloaded her copy of Pokemon Shield, and because Pokemon doesn't have cloud save, I just made a new save file, and I'm currently playing through it again to as a copy of her, because it doesn't affect her save on her console at all.
Right.
So yeah, wait, I'm going to do that.
Does it support cloud save at all?
Yes, not at all. So if you lose your Switch, you lose all your Pokemons.
That is the scariest thing you've ever told me.
Isn't that pretty terrifying? It's because they don't want you trading away Pokemon and then reverting to an old save where you still had it.
So I guess you could still pull the SD card out and then drop a copy onto your computer at some point, right?
No, I think it saves locally on the console.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, there's no backup to computer option at all. Like, people are really upset about that because
I am super upset about
that. That's an obvious thing to have for a console that's portable. And then they launched the ability where you had to pay for online saves, and that upset people because there's already an SD card in the console, so just like gave us the ability to plop it on our computer.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't even do that.
Yeah, well, and I'm sitting here thinking, like, I think Pokemon, even my old Pokemon games, are some of my most valuable saves. They're the things I'd want to go back to the most. Like, I could lose my Smash Bros. Save and be bummed out, but not as much as my Pokemon save. Because Smash Bros., you can re-download, and you're still playing Smash Bros., right? Like, the core game is still there. But with Pokemon, that game is your save, right? Everything you've done and put into that game. That's crazy. I did not know that.
Yeah, so don't lose your Switch.
Funny podcast. Now I'm like actually concerned.
Oh man. So yeah, that's what I've been. What?
I am playing it. You don't have to beat the whole game yourself. I have the other version. I can help. I just need time.
Jordan, I need more time, please. I'm like the mob boss where like, you're running out of time there, bucko. Please.
I thought I would play more this weekend because it was Thanksgiving, and then I went to two different family Thanksgivings and then went to a Christmas festival in another city, and I was just a lot busier with family than I thought I'd be. I beat the first gym though.
Oh, nice. I'm almost there after like 30 minutes of playing.
Yeah,
I'm just beelining it.
Yeah, it helps to just skip through everything. I've been so tempted to do that.
Yeah, but the reason actually I did this was not for those two that I don't have.
Really?
I didn't even think about that. That's a great idea. Yeah, it was for the exclusive legendary that I can't get at the end.
You just want it back?
What?
Because you traded for it to get it for your Pokedex, but you just want to keep it permanent copy?
Oh, yeah. I want my own of the Shield one.
So, I...
Also a second Master Ball.
Just in case you find two shinies?
Just in case... No, I'm just going to use it on one of the raid battles. Because they're so hard.
The impossible, like, 2% Gigantamax battles or something.
Yep.
Man, I had a thought, but I lost it. Pokemon's been fun. I got to that first gym, and we talked about how I was a little bit worried about being overpowered. Well, I beat the entire gym with one Pokemon. So, well, I might have swapped them out during the pre-fights, but the actual gym leader, I beat with one Pokemon. My good old pal, Kel'Thuzad.
Yes.
I nicknamed after, you know, the Lord of Chains. But what's his name is Dottier? Something like that?
Yeah.
Isn't that the actual Pokemon's name?
Something like that.
That was fun. Hopefully, I'm trying to debate. I have the struggle of, do I want to beeline it like you're kind of doing on your second playthrough just to get to the stuff that I really enjoy about Pokemon, all the in-game stuff that you've been doing? Or do I continue to explore and talk to each person and find the TMs and the items and the cool stuff along the way?
Yeah.
Because it has been fun. I mean, it's a Pokemon game. I like playing those. They're fun.
It's a really fun one. Man, but I've been doing so many of the super fancying up your Pokemans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have like maybe 8 or 9 specially trained ones with maxed out stats, and
great.
I'm finally understanding how it's a fun thing to do, and I'm glad
so
that
happy.
I know, I'm glad they made it accessible to and more sense making.
The IV stuff, I think it's good that you can upgrade that, because that's always been silly. But the EV stuff, I promise you, it wasn't as complicated as it felt.
No, the EV stuff to me is more confusing and stupid than the IV stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The IV stuff, getting the perfect IVs took more time, but it was always simpler. The
yeah,
EVs
but it
are
makes total sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
EVs so, is goofy.
I agree with you on that. That's nuts. Well, and so you said that you found the ability capsule and it cost like a bunch of battle points, right?
It did, yeah. It was very expensive.
Do you get a chance to give him the hidden ability, or
no.
Is that even a thing anymore?
Hidden abilities are still a thing, but you have to catch the Pokemon in a raid for the hidden ability.
That's what I thought might be the case. That's what I was afraid of.
Which is so really hard, also.
The Dynamax ones all have their hidden abilities. Is it guaranteed, or is
no,
it just
a
chance? No,
it's not even guaranteed.
Oh my goodness,
it's
why
still,
would they do this?
Yeah, it's still a very rare chance.
It seems like they locked away so much of what the end game players of the game would want behind one mechanic. It's all the Gigantamax.
Yeah.
Like,
which
all of the
is
extra
fun.
Species, the hidden abilities.
It still is fun. It's just, there's unnecessarily complicated aspects to it.
And I imagine at a certain point, you just kind of get a strategy of, here's how I one-shot everything, right?
No, you can't one-shot raids.
Sure, but as in, like, here's the same Pokemon I bring to every single one because he's got this combo that just destroys them.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Because
so there's more strategy.
Yeah, type advantages are still important to keep in mind. So
mm-hmm.
is if they have defense or special defense, and
right.
Yeah, like they the Pokemon the raid battles, they get shields twice during a battle, and the only way to break through the shields is just by attacking. Just any normal attack just breaks down a shield. But, I mean, harder ones have more shields. Or if you have a certain type advantage, you can break through the shield.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's not just, oh, I have one guy for everything. You're always choosing one depending on which raid you're going into.
I imagine a multi-hit character that has, like, Rock Blast or something that hits 4 to 5 times would be really good against those shields.
No, because they don't count. I tried the same thing. I tried like double kick, and it just kicks twice, but only takes down one portion of the shield.
That defeats the whole point of those moves.
I know.
It's like, all right, you can strategize, but not that hard, Mister. Okay,
exactly. And there's some
this
moves
is
where
still
you do them.
Pokemon game after all.
Some moves where there's one where it's like the weight of them influences how much damage you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I'm so smart. I'll teach this and use this, and I use it, and it's like. Oh, but it didn't work, and it just did nothing.
The move just straight up doesn't work?
Yeah, because I guess it would be too strong.
That's worse than, like, just capping the power.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my goodness, Pokemon. Ugh, it's like they were so close to having such a cool concept, and then all of the cool stuff about it, they turn off.
Hopefully they'll...
No, you can't have fun. This
yeah,
Pokemon.
It's a new system, so, I mean, I think they said they're not bringing it back, but... Maybe if they do, they'll, like, expand upon it, make it more better. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I like that they're trying new stuff. I mean, I like Mega Evolution has been my favorite gimmick so far. The Z moves didn't make any sense. I thought they were dumb. But this is a weird in-between. I kind of just prefer the Mega Evolutions. I think.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Because,
Mega Evolutions were so much cooler. I'm so sad they took those out.
Because the Dynamaxing stuff is... It's a lot like the Z moves, but there is more strategy. Because you get 3 turns... and it changes your stats as well. So I like that aspect. But the problem was that Mega Evolution was basically bringing whole new Pokemon in. Like, Mega Charizard X is just a different type. And Mega Kangaskhan got a new ability that made him super overpowered, and it was the only way Kangaskhan was useful in the meta. Like, the fact that all that's just gone, it's like they took away more than just the 500 Pokemon or whatever they took away. They also took away all the Megas, which was quite a lot of, like, unique ways to play those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it could have been so easily implemented into the Gigantamax system, where it's just, if they have a Mega Evolution, they just turn into that when they, you know, Gigantamax.
Yeah, but the turn time limit would severely nerf a lot of those guys.
Oh, right. The 3-turn limit. That's a good point.
Yeah. Like, for example, on Kangaskhan, like I was just talking about, there was one of the coolest abilities in the game he got when he Mega Evolved. I guess all Kangaskhans are female, so she got when she Mega Evolved, was the Mega Evolution is basically the little baby in the pouch. It's like a giant kangaroo Pokemon. The little baby in the pouch hops out when they Mega Evolve, and every move you do is repeated immediately at 50% power. And so...
Wait, what?
That was the ability of Mega Kangaskhan, was every move you do is then repeated at 50% power. Every attacking move.
Okay.
So
it's like it's the little baby kangaroo, like, thrown in some effort also?
So, like, if I hit you with a Mega Punch, you get hit by my Mega Punch, and you get hit by a little baby Mega Punch after that.
Okay.
Everything became a two-hit move, which was great because he could also learn Power-Up Punch, which is just a punch that then raises your attack.
Oh, and it still raises your attack twice?
Yes, so you could use it one time, and then your attack is doubled. And you just that was the strategy with Mega Kangaskhan, was just double power-up punch, and it was super cool.
That's insane.
That whole mechanic is completely gone. You can't Goodbye. Do it anymore.
Goodbye, Mega Evolutions.
Well, similar to Mega Evolutions, maybe we should put Pokemon back in the vault.
Yeah. Until next week, when I have more to talk about Pokemon.
Hooray. What are you going to do after you complete the Dex?
Be happy, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's the secret to your happiness?
Yeah, maybe I'll try and get, like, at least one shiny, just to say that I did it.
Why don't you try out building a team for ranked?
I mean, I already have one.
Oh, have you been playing?
No, I'm not going to do ranked.
Why not?
I realize I don't really know how to, like, strategize in this game, because I've only ever done the story mode. So, like, I told you, me and my older sister played a game against each other earlier this week, and she just destroyed me. But I ended up winning thanks to my legendary, my overpowered legendary. But again, I was like, I don't know how to, like, play this game, you know? It's like the first time you play Hearthstone, and you're playing, and you're like, I don't know, like, what the best things to do here and there is. I'm sitting here, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe I don't know how to, like, strategically play Pokemon.
But, like, think back to when you started playing Hearthstone, right? There was a day that was Danny's first day to play Hearthstone. And, I mean, you didn't know what it did then, but you do now, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
And there was a progression.
More than some.
From A to B, so why not start that journey in Pokemon and just try it out?
I don't know.
Think about it. You get back to me on that.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't seem like a fair, like, playing ground. Like, it feels like there's not much room for strategy, if that makes sense.
What do you mean by that?
You know, like, it's just kind of simple, where there's type advantages, and then you just switch out, and then you give them items, and then not much other than that. And so it's really just learning, like, when to switch out or how to predict moves, and having to just memorize all the types and all the moves. So really, it's a lot of just memorization.
I think it's more the prediction that you talked about. That's what the strategy is, right? Any turn-based game, trying to predict what your opponent's going to do next turn is the key. But yeah, and building your team, which you've been having fun with. So also keep in mind that Pokemon is an extremely popular game, but it's also extremely popular with a younger audience. And so there's a good chance if you just go hit a random online battle that you might be playing someone who doesn't have nearly the experience you do. There's a chance you could get someone who... especially if you're in ranked and you start climbing the ranks, obviously you're going to get people who know what they're doing. But if you just do the casual battles or you are low in ranked, you're probably hitting a lot of people that feel the same way you do about it.
Interesting.
Like if you're using the Blizzard ranks as a comparison of like gold, platinum, diamond, all that. I mean, diamond and above is what, like top, is it 5%, 10% of all
players? I
think
players? 5, or it might be 15. I know there's 15%? A 5 in it somewhere. 5 or 15.
So consider that, like if, I think Masters is top like 2% or something. So if you're looking at those people as the examples of what strategizing in a game is, then that's not going to be what you hit if you just go online randomly. You're going to be hitting people that have far less knowledge about the deeper strategy of the game and they're just playing for fun.
Interesting. And then I destroy their fun. So yeah, I'll be like you.
When I play Valyra in Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, rip.
So
yeah. Get, all right, get back Pokemon. To us. Pokemon, get back in that vault. You get in there. You. Here we go. Close the door.
Danny Boy's gonna pull you out when you're ready to talk about competitive play next week.
When you're older, we'll explain when you're older, Pokemon.
We'll explain how the meta works when you're older. So you've been playing a lot of Pokemon?
Yep, that's basically it. And I assume that'll be it for the next week or so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I sat down a few times while I was out at those Thanksgiving trips. When I've been home, I've been on the computer, and I've actually played a lot more State of Decay. I think I mentioned that last week that I just discovered it and I wanted to play a bunch more. Well, I've certainly done that, and I'm still having a ton of fun with it. And I think I'm understanding more the overall arc of that game is more that you like play it several times. Because I feel like I'm approaching the end of my first community, but I think you can then like pack up your community and move to a new area if you want. There's not like an end goal that I can find. I think it's like if you clear out all of the zombie bases in a given map, then you can kind of retire your community and start a new one, and you get a special leader card based on who was your leader.
Whoa, infinite value in a video game.
Who could have thought of replayability? But some really crazy moments in that game. Like, so last night, I've been trying to find other folks to play it with. Because, you know, you and Kyle are hesitant to jump into State of Decay 2. And
I just don't care about zombie games.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. It's definitely one of those. And I joined a couple, like, unofficial community Discord servers and was asking around for people. And no one really responded until yesterday, while I was out at that second Thanksgiving, someone sent me a message, was like, I'll play with you. So I added them on Xbox last night. And I learned so much last night about people and about Xbox. So...
Oh, what?
They got on and talked with me, and it was my first time joining someone. And it's like, so you can go... One person's the host, the other person joins their map, and the guest player brings in one of their characters, and you can use your own items. So, like, I could spend my ammunition shooting a zombie with him, but, like, I'm doing stuff for his base. So to kind of make up for that, maybe one out of every, like, four lootable containers you can loot, and the rest the host can loot. So you get, like, a little bit of
okay.
loot.
Okay.
But also, while you're in their world, your base is not running. So your like, maintenance costs are not being charged. So, like, you're losing the items you're using up, like your weapons that are breaking and stuff, but your base materials and food and stuff aren't being depleted. Meanwhile, you're running around getting a small amount of loot, and the host is getting help, and he's giving away, like, a little bit of his loot for that help. So that was interesting.
But I see. Does that end up being worth it?
I don't know. I mean, I think I was doing it more just for the fun of doing it, but I don't... If I wanted to, like,
fun? Get good we don't play video games for fun. What is this three-letter
word?
Right.
I gotta go farm some more Dynamax battles. Hold on.
You
I'll be
freaking,
right back.
You freaking dummy? Sorry, continue. Well,
so in my head, I was like, you know what? That's why I'm searching for an online buddy, because, like, I rather than grinding out stuff in a zombie game, I would rather, like, go on silly adventures with a friend and be like, oh no, this guy's gonna die from a zombie and we gotta run away and we're screwed and we found a car and just go on adventures.
Yeah.
Well, I got a guy, he seemed young, not like a kid, but I would guess he was like early college or high school aged, and he introduced himself from the Discord community. He seemed to be like one of the designated people to help out new players. But he had only started playing a few weeks ago, but he had had one of the experienced guys like walk him through a bunch of stuff. So he was then like passing on that knowledge, but like some of it was useful. Like 80% of it was just like, yeah, like I play the game too. Like I know how it works. And then he was also doing like dumb stuff. I was like, no, let's just go to the objective. He's like, no, we got to take out this guy or he's going to be a problem later. I'm like, they infinitely spawn. Like, just leave him alone and let's go to the objective. Yeah. And also, so it's cross play. Cause I did not realize this, but up until recently it had been an Xbox exclusive. They just recently announced that it's coming out on Steam next year.
Oh, nice.
But it is Xbox exclusive. So the guys I was playing with last night were playing on Xboxes. And that means that I was way better at shooting zombies than all of them.
Oh, I can imagine.
So I'm just standing there just like headshotting them with a pistol left to right, just killing a whole room. And he's like fighting one with a baseball bat. So it was a very weird experience. We got very little done for like the hour I was doing stuff with him, and I was like, I kind of just want to go back to playing single player. So I came up with some excuse to take a break, and I left. And I've got my Discord server portioned off, like, for...
Yeah, you did some house cleaning of your Discord server.
I made, like a cool little inside community for my friends, and then there's just, like, a public-facing area of the server that I can just invite people to freely, and we can hang out and do stuff. So I went back to, like, our little friend group. I was like, I don't know. I'm just going to keep playing. So I played on my own for a while. And then this other person we had invited that couldn't make it finally got on. And so I felt bad. So I was like, oh, I'll go talk with him and like see if he wants to play. So I was trying to talk with him and he couldn't get his microphone to work on Discord. So he's like, I'll call you on an Xbox party. And I was like, can I do that? And I looked it up and you can, but you have to have Game Bar enabled. So I had to re-enable Game Bar. And then Game Bar has changed a lot. Have you opened it recently?
Do you not remember me telling you how awesome Game Bar is? I did multiple times and you were like, yeah, whatever, it's just Game Bar. And I was like, no, it's incredible. You can change the sound, you can see like your CPU and RAM usage and who's online.
I don't remember that at all. I completely blocked that out.
I probably talked about it in one of the podcast episodes at one point. Because
now that you mention it, it's starting to come back, and I think you did, but I had completely forgotten.
I 100% did, and I was like, guys, Game Bar is amazing. And you even like made like some like comment like, oh, why is Jordan like Game Bar? That's so weird. And I was like, nah.
Ah, you made a mistake now.
I didn't realize that you could disable it.
Yeah, in the Windows setting, you can just straight turn it off, which is what I did.
That's nice of them.
But I had to turn it back on, and then I could enable Xbox parties, and I joined a voice call with this guy. And this guy was, he was definitely older, I think, and he was more like me, and I felt like I was having more fun playing with him. He tried to join my world a couple times and he kept failing, and then he asked me to join his world. I joined his world and we spawned in. His base immediately got swarmed. We fought them all off, and apparently his game was doing some weird glitches with the bodies of the zombies, and he just had to show it to me. So he was like, hold on, I gotta screenshot this. So he screenshotted it and he's like, oh, I can't, it's gotta upload to Xbox before it can send it to you. Hold on, it's uploading. And I'm just like walking in circles around his base.
Is this still the same person from earlier who was kind of young, or is it someone else?
This is the second person.
Oh, who, so, without the mic, the broken mic.
Yeah, the one who had to do the Xbox party with.
Gotcha.
And so he's like, all right, I'm going to send this to you now that it's uploaded. And he sent me a message and it just says, this content is unavailable. And I was like, it says it's not available. He's like, let me try again. It says, this content's unavailable. And at this point, it's been like 4 or 5 minutes of him trying to send me the screenshot, and right, I just want to play the video game.
Yeah.
And so then he uploads it to OneDrive and then sends me a URL.
Good
and
heavens. I click it.
And it was hilarious. Like, all of the bodies, as soon as the zombie died, their corpse just T-posed on his screen.
Like standing up or on the ground?
Just standing up.
Oh, that's awesome.
So there was just like 15 headless zombie corpses T-posing. And then as we're laughing about it and finally going on to do something in the video game, he's like, they're T-posing to assert dominance. And then eventually, his game was just so buggy. Apparently that game is very buggy on Xbox, because both the guys I played with had a lot of bugs. But at some point he was like, you know what, I'm just going to restart my Xbox. So he restarted. I kind of went back to playing single player. He eventually joined again. I was like, why don't you try joining my group again? Because I just wanted to do stuff in my world, whether he was there or not. So he joins, and it worked this time. And we took out some big dudes, and it was actually pretty fun. I was like, yeah, you know what? This game is really fun playing with other people. I'm glad I did this. And that was my unique experience. I also discovered that instead of posting on those community Discord servers, there's a literal looking for group feature on Game Bar now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I did not know that.
I'm aware.
That's one of the cool things. I don't know if you've ever heard of this before, but I need to tell you about Game Bar.
Wait, it's, the Xbox Game Bar on Windows?
The Xbox Game Bar, yeah.
Whoa. Yeah.
I'm so glad that I got to reveal this knowledge to you for the first time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know what? When I get my M.2 drive, I'll download it. You know?
Yay! I'm
yeah,
so
I'll give it a shot.
We can go on adventures together.
Yeah. Like, you describing it as where I can, like, kind of join your world and it makes no difference in mine or anything that I do, it sounds like the kind of game that I can get into more easily.
Rather than having to worry about your own base and resources?
Exactly. You know, if it was, like, more a joint thing, then that would be... that I just wouldn't really care. But if it's literally just helping you shoot stuff, then, yeah, that's fun.
Well, see, but I'm already far along, so I would join your game, and I would help you shoot stuff.
Oh, no. See, that's why I don't care.
Okay, if you just want to play with me and not necessarily have your own community. You have to take people from your community into my game. So,
I would need people.
You would need people, but you start with like 4 people, I think. Hmm. But then, like, if one of them gets sick or tired, you have to leave them to rest while you get somebody else. And like, if you don't have a good infirmary, they'll take longer to heal. And so, whatever. Actually, I think you could probably just use my infirmary. I don't know how all that works, but
I would hope that I would take you to dinner first.
Use my infirmary.
Mm-hmm.
Check out in the back. I've got a what is it called? Workshop. I just ruined that joke. Never mind. There was a funny joke in there somewhere about crafting ammunition in my police armory, but
oh my goodness gracious, I
couldn't find it.
I mean, that's good enough for me. What you just said. Wow.
So you've been doing Pokemon. I've been doing State of Decay 2. Gearing up for some of the December freebies. You did subscribe to Humble for the Classic, right?
I did, yes. And I did pause this month's worth because I didn't care about... what are they? Like, is it like Yakuza
Shenmue,
or something?
Oh, Shenmue. I think also Yakuza, and then Soul Calibur 6.
Ah, yes. Those are games.
Those are certainly video games.
Those are games with names. Hi, welcome to Games with Names. I'm your host, Daniel.
What are the games with names? How many are there?
What are you talking about? Which games with names?
Any games with names.
Oh, just any? Let's see. Okay, we got Elmo's Big Adventure. It's Elmo Journey to Grouchy Land.
Okay.
Did you ever watch that?
Is that a movie or a game?
It is. It's a Sesame Street movie where Elmo goes to Grouchy Land.
I have not seen Elmo Goes to Grouchy Land.
Oh, I see. I had the Game Boy Advance version of the movie game growing up. So,
wait, was this? Oh, so it was a movie game. I was thinking about those like TV shows they would load on Game Boy Advance cartridges that you could just watch.
Whoa, they did that?
Yeah, in like 240p or whatever the Game Boy was.
That's awesome.
Technology.
Holy moly.
So, yeah, for anyone who's interested, heads up, the Humble Classic starting, what is it, December 3rd, right? I'll go check right now.
The 3rd or the 2nd? Or the 4th? 2nd to the 4th.
It is December 6th, I think.
Oh, well, never mind. I was close.
It's early December. You should go sign up before it starts, and then you get a really, really good deal on...
It's a day.
10 or 11 games, I think. And we'll see. I think this first month, maybe they want to come out swinging, so maybe we'll get some really good games this first month. That'd be exciting.
That'll be really awesome to get lots of big games for, like, what, $12?
Yeah, that'll be so cool. So, and you can still pause it even after that, I think. But I doubt you can pause it before you know the games. that's probably one thing they're going to change.
Right? Because each month,
because they're releasing all like 11 of them, and then you get to choose. And so, but maybe they'll still advertise a few of them in advance. Who knows?
Who knows? I can tell you who knows. They do, because it's their company.
Well, we can only stand to wait. I know a game that you played that wasn't Pokemon.
This week?
I know two different games you played.
Oh, what am I talking about? I just thought of one too.
Yeah. There were two games that we played together with Kyle.
Oh, that's not what I was thinking of. But you can talk about it if you want.
Why are you so upset?
I'm just kidding. It was fun playing it.
Oh, okay. I was like, geez, I thought we finally found a game, like a couple games that we could all just sit down and play together.
No,
but it sounded so sad.
A couple games? I can only think of one. What are you thinking about?
There were two separate nights that we played games with Kyle.
Really?
Yes. We played Dauntless.
Oh, we played Dauntless.
Yeah, we sat down and downloaded the free-to-play Dauntless.
Duh.
Monster Hunter. I was going to say Monster Hunter for babbies, but
for
Monster
cheapos.
Hunty sounds better.
Actually, it's more like Monster Hunter for whales, because they want people to spend thousands of dollars as opposed to just $60.
Yeah,
it's a free-to-play alternate to Monster Hunter, and it was fun.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun playing. We played up to like level 5 or 6 that one night. And I hope to play more with you guys if we just have a lazy evening someday.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know what Monster Hunter is, you hunt monsters. They're just big, big boys. And you just take them down as a group. And you have to, like, dodge their attacks. And they have pretty obviously, well, a little obvious choreographed attacks. So you can be like, oh, he's about to do this move, so I know where to dodge. Mm-hmm. And you just team up and take them down eventually. And it's a fun group game. And it's free.
Yeah, it is free to play. And you can... There are obviously microtransactions. But it's... I would describe it as like an action-adventure game where they realized that the bosses were the most fun part. And they just took out all of the small enemies. And you just have bosses to fight. And you just do that over and over again. And get cool gear from it.
When does it come out on Switch? Or is it out on Switch?
I feel like I saw it on Switch. You want to throw that in the good old search engine?
Oh, I think it is out. Oh, available to be determined.
Oh, okay. So it is coming to Switch, but not there yet.
Yes, indeed. Which it will have cross-play and cross-sync.
Well, it already does have cross-play.
Well, the Switch version will also have it.
True. True. Yeah, so when we played with Kyle, I think we got matched up with a PlayStation user at one point, right?
We did, yeah.
So that was one night that we had fun together. The other night was I just joked to Kyle before you even were online about one of my old favorite games. I think it's in my top 10 on Steam, called Natural Selection 2, which is a really, really fun PvP, kind of a shooter game, but it's aliens versus humans. So the alien team is much more about sneaking and biting you from behind kind of thing. But the cool thing about this game is not only are you fighting the opposing team, but each team has a commander that views the entire battle as you would in a real-time strategy game from the top down, and you get to place buildings. And it's the way I described it would be like if you were playing an RTS where none of your units listened to you because they were other players.
It's a lot of pressure. If you mess up, you kind of can screw over your whole team.
Yeah, like if you're not building... So in an RTS, classic RTS, you know, if all of a sudden your units aren't upgraded enough to fend off an attack, it's like, oh, well, they did their best, but they died. But in this one, the actual skill of the players comes into it. So like a really good player might overcome bad odds if they have good upgrades, but also two equally skilled players, if the commander is upgrading them one faster than the other, then they're going to have the advantage. It's really crazy. It's a high level of strategy that I like in a kind of fast-paced action game. So,
yeah,
joking with Kyle about that, and then the Black Friday sale for Steam started, and it dropped 90% off down to $2.
Wait, so how did it come up?
How did it come up? I was looking through games to play with Kyle, and I sent like 5 or 6 games. Like, I was, do you want to play Left 4 Dead? Do you want to play Dauntless? Do you want to play... Well, actually, no, because I think I asked you to play Dauntless, and you didn't want to play without him, so I was not going to ask him to play without you. So,
you would have said yes, like, that traitor.
I sent him like 6 or 7 different games to play through. I was like, do you want to play Remnant? Do you want to play whatever? And he asked what Natural Selection 2 was, and I started telling him it's a shooter.
Oh, wait, so you just put it on the list knowing he doesn't have it, or did you know it was on sale?
I thought he might have played it with me one point in the past, and then he was like, oh, I've never heard of that. And he asked what it was. I told him it was a shooter where one player is a commander over their team, like an RTS. He says, that sounds super cool. And I was like, it is super cool. It's one of my favorite games. And I sent him the trailer, and he bought it for $2 immediately. And while he was downloading it, I showed him a tournament match that I watched the other week, so that he was just like, yeah, here you can see the humans are doing this because the aliens are doing this. I was kind of pointing out the strategy to him, and he was like, this seems really cool. And then we played it against bots,
which was a nightmare to set up. Obviously not for you, but for anyone else who's like, oh, I want to do that too. You have to know stuff about port forwarding and console commands. How did you know the commands, by the way?
There's a wiki page with all the console commands, and I also vaguely remember it because there was a... It uses common commands from, like, the source engine, so it's similar commands to playing on, like, Team Fortress or something.
Oh, okay. That's good.
As we're talking, Kyle just discorded me if I wanted to play Natural Selection 2.
Dude, no way!
I'm gonna tell him crazy. We were just talking about it.
I didn't know he liked it that much to where he wants to play again.
He said he tried out a few PvP games, so apparently he has played against more than just bots.
Oof. Yeah, that does not sound fun. I was having fun playing against bots. I don't know if I would against real people who have played for years and years and years and years.
Well, it's also on sale for 90% off, so keep in mind that there's probably a lot of people joining. Well, and again, going back to like the Overwatch or Hearthstone discussion, there was a point where you jumped into all of those games fresh. You just kinda
Overwatch was brand new. Hearthstone puts you against players that are... I mean, I don't really play Hearthstone against people anyway. I only play against friends.
No, okay.
You know that. Yeah.
That's fair. So, well, and then I was surprised because we were playing and we were trying to keep it a bot-only match and this dude kept joining. His name was Bad Player and he, according to his level, was a like rank 4 veteran and he kept destroying us. And so we eventually kicked him out because I just wanted to play with Kyle. And then... Surprise, surprise. There's an alien gorge in our base messing it up. It's stinking Danny over here. And
it was me. I downloaded it and joined their game, and I was munching on their base.
Well, and the player notifications of when people join is in the same feed as the kill feed. And with the bots, you kind of stop paying attention. And so I didn't even notice that you had joined the game, and you're just there destroying our base.
That was fun. I actually took down a whole geyser, a whole little machine thing.
Little extractor thing, yeah.
Yeah, I destroyed a whole extractor, and then I rushed into your base. I had no idea what I was doing. The last time you showed me this game was like 7 years ago, and I wasn't into PvP back then, so I was like, eh, that's nice, whatever.
And you just went gorge the healing class, and you just were healing everyone?
Yeah, I like healing. Healing's fun. And also, I like the little minions.
Yeah,
you can control.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you did this week. You played Dauntless and Natural Selection 2.
Yeah, well, and then
after you messed around with us, you went into the alien commander mode, and you found out it was a lot like StarCraft, right?
Yeah, so I was about to bring that up. They released a new StarCraft 2 co-op commander this week, who is really complicated, and which is awesome because it's really fun to play him. But... no one wants to play him with me, so I was like, Kyle played with me a few times, and that was fun.
Uh-huh.
But I've been like really wanting to play that more, and so I was like, yeah, sure, I'll give this Natural Selection, I'll give the commander thing a try. And the commander thing is so much fun because it's like the StarCraft of shooters, where you have all your little teammates running around on the map, and you're just building like command centers and resource thingy-mabobs.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of fun doing that, and I can't imagine that being fun against actual players unless I was really experienced.
Well, also remember that like you're mainly fighting against the enemy commander because the players are just doing what they do, and like you can tell them where to go and they'll try to do it, but like you don't. Whereas if you're playing against a really skilled RTS opponent, if you're not like, if you forget that you have a group of guys over this quarter, it's like, oh, suddenly they're just dead because you weren't watching them and the guy just stormed in. But you're, all of your units are smart, right? They're human beings. And so if they're trapped in a room and like someone's attacking them, they're going to leave on their own and they're going to go somewhere that they're useful on their own. So it takes a little bit of the pressure off. You mostly just have to focus on like the macro game.
Which is fun. I wish they had more like that, more where troops kind of just control themselves. Like, I would like an RTS game where that just is the whole game, where you just have to deal with just setting things up. I feel like that would be a really good stepping stone for more people to get into RTS games.
Yeah, I wonder if there's something out there like that. If you know something like that, send us an email.
What should they email at us at?
Well, they should pick their favorite email client or web client. And then in the to box, the address field, what you're going to want to put is patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com.
Nice.
Tell us about whatever RTS experience you've had where you don't have to control each individual unit. That sounds really fun.
Who knows if it exists? Probably
not.
That
would be cool. That'd be cool in VR.
Oh, that would be fun in VR.
Because they have RTSs in VR. I don't know if you have to control individual units, but an idea where you can just kind of like select areas where you want your units to go to and plop down buildings and create upgrades, but then like your actual units are kind of maintaining themselves.
Do they really? That sounds fun. I played RTS VR game. Oh, yeah. Hey, speaking of VR, I picked up Batman VR this week. And also, shoot, what was the other one?
I'm not sure.
Did you
sent me some messages about these when they went on sale, right?
I did. Yeah. I was like, hey, I picked these up on Steam if you want to give them a shot.
I don't remember what they were either, sorry.
Shoot. Is there like a recently purchased area on Steam somewhere?
Yeah, you can go look at your transaction history.
I'm going to do that.
Okay. I also have some fun VR purchases I made, so once you... Do you want me to talk about them, or do you want to look up yours first?
Oh, I got Windlands 2.
Oh, how is that?
Which is multiplayer, wink, wink. I have not tried it yet, but Windlands 1 was amazing. So, of course, I got the second one.
I never played them. I think I saw like a YouTube video of someone playing them the first one years ago. So I generally understand it's like an exploration game with grappling hooks.
Yeah, right? It makes you actually feel like Spider-Man without the need for large robots.
and pulling off armor.
Yes.
Impossible to pull off armor. And the Steam sale is still running. So Windlands 2 is still sitting here at $7.50. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, big Steam sale going on right now. Speaking of patient playing.
Oh, yes. This 'tis the season to play patiently.
Yes. Like, what are some... I can get The Witcher. It's just Witcher 3 for $11.
I think I got it for some crazy low deal like that last year when I started playing it.
Remnant for $27. That's a little discount. We've talked about Remnant here on the show before.
Yeah, I have a funny story about that if we want to get into it. But
do you really?
What was the... Yeah, so I went back and I watched an old YouTuber that we used to watch, MF Pally Time. He has a Remnant playthrough, and I didn't watch any of it when he was coming out with it because I was playing through the game.
Right.
But since we beat it, I was like, I wonder if that video is any good. And I just loaded up the final video where he fights the final boss, the one that we struggled so hard on.
Uh-huh.
He went in there, and he died on stage one once. It looked like he was playing on a high difficulty because they were killing him pretty fast. So he beat stage one. And then when stage two started, he couldn't figure out the gimmick. And then he happened to have fire-based modules on, and he was wearing a necklace that increased elemental damage by 10%. So when the gimmick came to do a bunch of damage and do the gimmick, he actually got it on his first try.
Oh, nice. Just because he happened to have the right weapon.
Yeah, and he's like, what's going on? And so then he figured out, oh, this is how you do it. But he didn't have enough health to get through the rest of that fight, so he had to do it a couple more times. And then he started changing out his weapons and armor.
Oh, no.
And he took off the fire damage, and he was really struggling. I think he did actually manage to break it once without the fire damage, but in the end, he went back to a new weapon with fire damage. He never figured out just how good the elemental damage was. He just happened to go back to it on one of his last runs, and it started breaking really easily again. And he did it, and it was cool to watch him, but it was just funny seeing how like someone who has no clue what's going on going into it, whereas our experience was like 45 minutes or like 2 hours cumulatively.
Yeah, it was multiple hours and very frustrating.
Trying to figure it out. Versus he figured it out, it seems like. I mean, he obviously skips past some of the respawns and stuff, but what? It seems like he only had to attempt it 4 or 5 times to get it.
What episode was that of Patient Players? I wonder if I could find that. And
it was like 4.
And tell people if they want to go hear more about Remnant and our Remnant stories.
Tell me more about your VR games, and I'll look at the descriptions, find it for you.
Oh, but I'm done with the VR games.
Well, then we should switch roles, and I will tell you about my VR games.
But episode 3 for Vader Immortal came out.
I saw that.
I have not played episode 2 yet.
Did you? But you own all of them, right?
I don't own the third one, because I figured I'd wait to buy it until I beat the second one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I got for VR today, though. You have some VR stories.
I do. So after we recorded last week, I mentioned I was hunting down some new Oculus hardware. Well, I went out and I bought a used Quest. So on Sunday, I drove to a nearby town where someone was selling one on Facebook Marketplace. And I bought, it was about not quite 20% off. I mean, once you tack on shipping or tax, it was probably about 20% off.
Oh, yeah. Taxes adds up fast. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. So took that home. It looks fine. It works fine. It seems like the guy, you might have used it, but not very heavily. And it took me a couple minutes to figure out how to do the firmware update that let me do the Oculus Link. And then I had to also do a factory reset to get rid of all of his profile settings. Did you know you have to boot the Quest into the equivalent of like the BIOS menu in order to change users?
That's cool.
You have to basically hold down.
That's not cool. That sounds awful.
Yeah, you have to like hold down the power and the volume button for like 5 seconds. It was like 10 seconds. It was an extremely long time, and it did like a hard reset into the BIOS menu. And you have to control it just hitting the volume up and down and the power button as like your select. And you kind of just select options on this menu to do a hard reset or like change user or something like that. So I did a hard reset, and then I logged in with my own. And that's when I learned the crappiest thing about the Oculus Quest.
Oh, no.
They have horrible cross-buy options.
Oh, no.
So you remember how I said that I had a dilemma where I didn't know if I wanted to buy Beat Saber DLC anymore on Steam because I would have to repurchase it on Oculus when I got the Quest anyways, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The Oculus Quest version of Beat Saber and all associated DLC is separate from the Oculus Store version on PC. So
interesting.
I bought Beat Saber again yesterday while I was at my in-laws for Thanksgiving. And now I can play it anywhere on my Quest. I can just plop it on my head and just start playing Beat Saber, and it's really cool.
Sick.
But I haven't bought... Well, I bought the Imagine Dragons DLC because they like Imagine Dragons. But I want to buy the Monster Cat DLC and the Rocket League and all that, but now I'm basically committing, okay, do I want to play on my Quest every time I want to play Beat Saber? Because otherwise, like, the PC version now is not going to have the DLC, because it's not like that transfers over to the PC Oculus version. They're completely different.
But you have no need for the PC version these days, right?
Well, for Beat Saber, that's probably true. Though, the Quest is heavier than the Rift headsets. The Quest is the standalone headset. The Rift is the one that plugs into the PC. There's the original Rift and the Rift S. I have the original Rift and the Quest now. The Quest is amazing. Like, you set up the Rift S, you talked about how cool it was setting up the boundaries and everything. That is the coolest technology I've used in years.
Yeah.
Being able to just plop it on your head, touch the ground, draw like a square, and boom, you're playing VR is the coolest thing. And I can do that without a computer. I can literally just like go out my driveway and do that if I want to.
That's so cool. Any room can be a VR room.
Yeah, like I played some stuff in my living room. I played some of the demos that they offer. The problem is that this makes sense because you got to spend money on an industry for it to work, right? But there's so much money I'd have to spend to play all these games because like Super Hot VR is a separate game on Oculus Quest. Like you'd have to buy it again.
Oh, do you own it on Steam or Oculus?
I own it on Oculus because it was Oculus exclusive for a long time.
You just can't even play it now because unless plugging into your computer is what you're saying.
Right. So I always owned it on Oculus and I could play it on my Oculus Rift, the original. And I could still do that right now, but I can't play it on my Quest unless I plug my Quest into my computer and play that version off of the Link.
Man, that sucks.
Yeah, so I'd have to buy it again. I don't know. You'd think if it's all the Oculus Store, you'd think they'd give you the option. And in fact, some games do. It's apparently a per-developer choice because Robo Recall does that. Like, I own Robo Recall on the Quest because I own it on the PC.
Okay, so that's a good... That's good.
Yeah. But, like, the idea that some do that and others just choose to make you buy their game full price again if you want to play it on the go is crazy to me. And, like, if there's a new game I'm interested in, I have to consider, well, I could buy it on the Quest and that would let me play it on the go. But then if I get home and I want to play it and not have it look like garbage, because the Quest is low power.
Right. So like, you couldn't do the pass-through mode, is what you're saying.
When you play Robo Recall on the Quest, it's actually it's a different version of the game. It has all the same levels and mechanics, but it's called Robo Recall Unplugged, and the graphics are severely downgraded. Like, there's very little particle effects when you're shooting or when things are exploding, and like stuff is lower poly count. Like, it's a lower version of that game graphically. It's still the same game, which is, graphics don't matter too much to me, so it's very fun. But if I'm at home and I have this big expensive PC that I bought to play these games and I want them to look good,
right,
I have to buy a second edition. Oh, also, there's no cross save, so I had to start all the way over on Superhot. Robo Recall, I had to start all the way over.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah.
It seems like the concept of having a VR headset that you could take on the go is so cool until you realize that, like, they're completely walled off systems, right? Like, the Quest and its store and its content and save files are all different than the PC. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. I'm kind of bummed out by that, honestly. But
well, there's always Steam games, at least. You know?
What do you mean?
Like, just games that you can play. Wait, does the pass-through work for Steam VR games?
Yeah.
Okay. So at least there's always those if you want to still, like, buy a game and know that it'll be full quality.
And oh, then I guess... Like, I can certainly buy games on the PC and just play them the same as I could before. Like, that. Right. There's nothing stopping me from doing that. It's just the idea of, I spent all this money to have a portable VR headset, and it's like all the portable experiences are... It could so easily just be cross-buy, I guess cross-save. I don't know the technology there, but I assume it could be cross-save. And then at that point, it just makes the deal so much sweeter, because it's like, here you go, this big VR library you have at home, all of your saves, all your data, you can play it at home, or you can just grab your Quest and go and play it on the go. Like, that sounds so cool to me, but it doesn't have that.
Crazy. I would hope they add that in the future, but again, I don't understand why they wouldn't just start off with that now, because VR is...
And it's obviously an intentional choice, because some games are, so I'm not even confident they're going to add it in the future, because if they've chosen to not add it right now, why would they add it in the... I don't know.
Weird. Man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I mean... VR Anywhere is cool.
Yes.
It just was at so the cost cool. of having to buy the games for it. I guess,
yes.
I guess, I mean, if they hadn't had the pass-through mode, then you wouldn't have bought it. So I guess it really is made for people who don't have a computer for it, in which case
correct.
That store is their only option.
Yeah. I kind of felt like that store was lacking. There wasn't a ton on there that excited me. You want to know the only other game? This game surprised me more than any other. This is the only other game I have that's cross-buy, so I own it on Quest now. Do you want to know what it is?
What?
It's Orbis.
Oh, nice.
The MMO game. Apparently,
yeah,
they have
you
a Quest
love
version. Yeah. So I can play, as long as I have an internet connection, I can technically play that anywhere now.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I was really surprised by that. But yeah, super hot. I'd have to buy again all the DLC for Beat Saber.
That means the Orbis developers were like, yeah, if you bought our game, you can have a free copy on the Quest. And the Superhot developers were like, no, you have to buy a second copy.
Well, here's the thing. Superhot was in part produced by Oculus. Because it was exclusive to Oculus for a while.
Well, that's less of a reason. If Oculus had any say in it, they should have been like, hey, we need to make this more accessible to new users.
Well, and... I might be wrong on the production part. They were definitely exclusive to Oculus for a while, so Oculus paid for that. But I don't know if past this point, now that they're no longer exclusive, I don't know if they have any control over it. But Robo Recall was paid for by Oculus, developed by Epic. I'm trying to think of other Oculus games that are not cross. I guess I don't really own that many other Oculus games. But... who knows at this point? Yeah, but like all the art programs, Tilt Brush, all that stuff you have to buy again. So
jeez.
Don't actually have as much on the Quest to do as I thought. So the link, let me talk about the link for a second. The pass-through mode you talk about, it was interesting. So the headset itself is less comfortable, for sure. The Quest is heavier.
Than the original Oculus?
Yes, than the original Rift, correct.
Wow.
So it's got almost identical straps. It's basically the same form of the headset, except the Quest is much heavier. Okay. I say much heavier. If you were just picking it up, it doesn't feel heavy. But when it's on your face, you can totally notice a difference. And the weight pushes down on your cheeks, and it really feels uncomfortable after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Resolution's obviously better. In Beat Saber, it looked super clear when I was playing it. But this Link mode, the night I got it, I plugged it in with... I had to buy a USB 3 to USB-C cable. The one I bought did work off Amazon. And the cord that comes with it is just for charging. It doesn't actually do the Link stuff. So you have to wait till next year when Oculus releases their Link cable, or go buy a third-party one. But the problem is, the port was only meant for charging. So the port's like off to the side of the headset on the front. And whereas on the Rift, the cord kind of naturally comes out the back, so it can go down your back onto the floor.
Right.
On the Quest, it juts out to the side. And also, this cord I got from Amazon is kind of a heavy-duty USB cord, so it's a little heavy. And so the headset's heavy. The cord is heavy. It's sticking out to the side. So there's no way for me to not have it in front of my left shoulder. So I was constantly like punching it while I was playing Beat Saber. So I've got to figure out a longer-term solution on the cord. I have a USB 3 extension cable, but that doesn't work with the Link unless it's a powered USB 3 cable. Like, literally has its own plug-in to, like, wall power.
Wow, that's extreme.
Yeah, they're called active extension cords, because they take the signal, and not only do they maintain it, but they boost it. So that's the only way to extend the Oculus Link. Whereas the Oculus Rift, that cable works just fine as long as it's under a certain length. But the Quest with the Link technology, I can't use that cable. So I just have the one cable. But the cool thing is, I don't have to face my computer anymore, because I can face anywhere.
Right, right. Yeah, I love that too with mine.
I turned it around. So it's plugged in behind me now, and that was better. I didn't really need an extension, because it's like a 6-foot cord. But it is. I need to find a solution to keep getting it behind me instead of in front of me.
Could you like dangle it from the ceiling? Would that help at all?
Well, it's not long enough to do that. It would have to go all the way to the ceiling and come down.
Oh, but like when you get a longer one day?
Maybe. I'm also thinking of just buying one of those active extensions and running it out a little bit. The main thing is I need to just actually like pin the cord down so it's on the side of the headset. So it's not hanging down in front of me. It's falling down behind me. And one thing that I think will help with that is I did actually buy an accessory that is being shipped to my house. I bought a head strap and counterweight. So there's from a New Zealand company called, I have to go look at it.
Called Countervates. Yeah.
that's not New Zealand. That's not even close.
My apologies. Do you know where New Zealand is? My apologies to all of our New Zealand listeners.
Yes. Please email all of your angry New Zealand accents to patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. So I bought this strap. It basically goes over the top of your head from ear to ear. It's like a sideways strap. And then it wraps around the three top straps. So it takes the weight of the headset and balances it over your whole head rather than just the front.
Interesting.
And then because it's so heavy in the front, it's kind of pulling down on your face. I bought a counterweight, which is just like a strap with a weight in it that straps onto the back of the kind of like triangle part on the back of the headset.
Triangular.
So it makes it heavy on both sides. So it actually sits on your head as opposed to just pulling down on your face. So both of those, I've seen reviews on YouTube and things like that. People really like them. And they say that it makes the Quest infinitely more comfortable. And they like can't go back now. So I'm excited to get those in the mail. And then the Quest will hopefully be more comfortable to play longer term. And also, you can, instead of a weight, you can stick a USB battery in that back counterweight. And then you can charge the Quest while you're playing.
Ah, very nice.
So I could take that with me and play Orbis somewhere for a long time if it's comfortable. So assuming that it's comfortable, and assuming that I can find a way to get the cable not in front of me, then I think I'm going to finally be happy just plugging the Quest in and using that on the PC. But as of right now, I far prefer just using the Rift on my PC than the Quest. And I just take the Quest with me places to like play Beat Saber with my family and stuff.
Oh, sorry. Are you saying you're going to keep your old Rift?
I haven't fully decided yet. Right now, I still have it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, because you were thinking between just letting Marion have it or like selling it to someone you knew, right?
Yeah, there was a couple options I had with it. Now there's a third option. I might just keep it because it still works perfectly fine for all my PC VR stuff. And
right. Yeah, that's a good reason, if any.
Well, and here's one last thing, because we talked about VR forever. We need to put it in the vault like Pokemon. But with the Quest natively, I didn't notice any tracking issues. It felt normal playing Beat Saber. And
that's awesome.
With the Link, using my PC through my Quest, most everything was fine. I tried to play Blade and Sorcery, which is an in-development, early-access game. You stab people and shoot them with lightning, and right now there's not really a game to it. It's kind of just a little arena where you can fight things, and eventually the rest of the game is going to get developed. But I really like it. That has, like, very much one-to-one your sword is your hand movement, and you're trying to, like, sword fight and stuff. And there was a delay that was noticeable in the sense of, like, if I reached out my hand and you have, like, telekinesis powers, if I, like, grab an object with my hand, one of the things you can do that game is flick it and then let go, and it'll fly that way, like you're throwing it with your mind. I had to flick, wait a second, and then let go in order for it to work.
Okay.
Because there was just enough latency or delay between my hand motion and the computer processing the flick. Now, that could just be Blade and Sorcery because it's a new game. It's kind of unoptimized, and it ran a little poorly on my machine.
Right.
So it could be lag of the actual game, but I never noticed that on the Rift before. But on the Quest, it was every time I would grab and I would try to flick and I would let go, and it would work if I accounted for the delay. But if I just naturally, like as my hand would do it, if I just moved my hand and let go, the object would move and then stop, and then the let go would just drop it. So,
but you didn't see that kind of thing with Beat Saber?
Well, Beat Saber, there's nothing that, like, there is timing in the sense that it's a rhythm game, but there's nothing where you're having to, like, coordinate your motion and your button presses at the same time.
Right.
You're just moving your hands, and that worked fine. So that's kind of, those are kind of my three criteria for getting rid of the Rift. It's like, if the comfort of the strap actually makes the Quest bearable for long periods of time, if the Link starts working better with the latency. And also, Link just came out in beta, so they're going to be making improvements to it. So I'm kind of
happy
about that. What was my third criteria? I don't know. I've talked so much about VR at this point. You've heard all of my thoughts. That's the Link. That's the Quest. I have them. I'm probably going to keep the Quest no matter what because
I have them.
It is really cool to be able to say, hey, buddy, throw this thing on your head. And now you're in full VR.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Not a phone VR. Like, one of the games I'm probably going to repurchase because I own it on Steam, but it's on Quest, is Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes.
Yeah. I'm so glad that's on the Quest.
Yeah. So just imagine, like, I could come over to your house. We could meet up somewhere, and I could just, you know, you have the guide on your phone, or I print one out for you or whatever. It's like, hey, you've never tried VR out. Stick this thing on. We're going to play this game. Also, I own Beat Saber. Also, Space Pirate Trainer is on there, so I got to repurchase that.
Ooh.
If I want to play it.
Is there any kind of sale going on right now for Black Friday?
There are. The Oculus sale on the Quest is honestly gross. It's really bad sale.
Oh, no.
If you're buying hardware from Oculus, the Quest
is
the
only. No, I'm just talking about the games.
So even the games, they're all on sale in packs. Not like there's one or two games that I saw that I would want that were on sale individually, and they were none of them were the big ones. Like Beat Saber wasn't on sale at all. I don't think Space Pirate Trainer was on sale, or Keep Talking Nobody Explodes. It was basically like there are a few games that I might be interested in I've never heard of before that are on sale, and then other than that, it's like spend $90 and get these six games that are all on sale, or spend $75 and get these six games that are all on sale. And it's like, well, it has the two games I want, but it also has four games I was never planning on playing.
Mm-hmm.
So, a little disappointed in the sale for Oculus.
Wow. Interesting.
Yes, indeed. So, I've been busy. I've not played Pokemon because I've been in VR. I've been playing Natural Selection and Dauntless and State of Decay. And
State of Decay,
also
yeah.
Living life and going to Thanksgiving and stuff.
Food.
Very much food.
I'm looking forward to when the podcast ends and I can go get another plate of leftovers.
Well, that is quickly approaching. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about from your week?
I don't think so. I pretty much covered it all, you know?
Okay.
RTS games and Pokemon, that's been my week.
And RTS shooter hybrids.
That's what I meant.
Man. All right. Well, now, Danny boy, we have in our emails.
We have an email? New.
We have an email.
Yes.
This email at over at our email at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com, where you should go email us, dear listener, as you're hearing this. Just think carefully about what we've said today. Think about what confused you. Think about what made you happy, and just pass that on.
Confused you.
What made you clarify?
Rethink life. What has shooken up? Shaken up? Shook?
Shook up.
What has shook up your morals, your standards of living? Let us know at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com.
Alrighty. So our first and only email this week is called the follow-up to my previous follow-up.
Okay. Who's it from?
This one is from Kay.
Nice. From where?
Kay, once again, nameless, and so the location must be the void. That's where Kay has contacted us before.
Oh, that's true.
So this one starts with, "Greetings, Captain Patient and second-in-command, Mrs. Patient. How have you been?"
Wait, you're a captain now? When did you get promoted? I think you were a professor last time. You were Professor Patient, and I was Mrs. Patient.
You get an education, you join the military. A lot happens in VR, okay?
Holy moly.
It's an adventure.
I'm falling behind.
How have you been? I wish I could say I've been doing well. However, I seem to be in quite a predicament. You see, not too soon after my previous message to you both, I was lulled into the abyss by some mysterious force, and by the time I was able to regain my senses, I was already completely lost deep inside its pitch-black labyrinthian halls. The only reason I have survived for this long...
Don't follow the light.
The light's probably the opposite side of the abyss you want to go to. See, the abyss is tricking you.
Do follow the light. Wait, don't follow the light? Now you have me confused.
Exactly. The only reason I have survived for this long was by drinking the foul goop that lines every surface of this wretched place and by consuming the dozens of flash drives I keep on my person at all times.
he's consuming flash drives?
This is called upgrading, Jordan. All the kids are doing it, okay?
Oh my goodness, that's hilarious.
Anyways, at some point, while scooping handfuls of floor goop into my mouth, I just so happened to find this laptop, and better yet, it seems to... that the awful place actually has a decent Wi-Fi connection. I decided to send you guys a message about something that has been on my mind.
Hold up. Recently, there's just laptops lying around in the void? Okay, if you're listening, can you tell me how to get to the void?
Now consider, though, that in order to find this laptop, he did have to consume the technology of the flash drives first. So maybe this laptop originates from Kay himself.
You mean he had a baby?
Yeah.
Aww.
Baby laptop.
Baby laptop. Do, 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 do.
And you know what he's doing with that laptop?
Emailing patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com.
Patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. Next time you have a firstborn child, make sure to email in patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com.
Nice.
All right. So back to our important task at hand here. What has been on Kay's mind is that recently Valve has announced a brand new Half-Life game for VR, and while everyone is debating whether it should be Half-Life 3 or it should be a VR exclusive, I have been more intrigued by the possibilities of the game's engine. Valve has stated that the engine and its various tools will be open source, just like Half-Life 2's engine was. Half-Life 2's spawned a lot of really good fan projects like Garry's Mod, Black Mesa, Cry of Fear, a ton of really silly animations, and
many,
many more.
It's going to be open source? Dude, that's amazing. It looked incredible.
Are you excited for this fan project that might come out of the release of this new engine, especially with its VR compatibility? And if so, what kind of projects would you like to see? Personally, I can't help but think of the possibilities of Garry's Mod 2. That is all for now, and thank you for listening and responding to my ramblings. On an unrelated note, I just had the ingenious idea to use this laptop as a flashlight to help navigate this place. Hopefully by the next time I send you two a message, I will have found my way out of the abyss. Loves and kisses, Kay.
Can I just say... I really, really appreciate Kay's emails.
They're the highlight of the podcast. Everyone knows that.
They are. Like, they're the only reason why I record anymore, is just to get to the end and hope that Kay sent us another email.
It's the only reason you put up with me for so long.
Exactly. Oh, man. Kay, thank you for emailing us. I had no idea that a Half-Life, shoot, what's her name?
Alex.
Elise? Oh, Half-Life Alex is going to be on an open source engine.
Yeah.
That is really exciting.
I'm thinking through, so a lot of the ones I'm thinking of are actually Half-Life 1 mods, like Counter-Strike was a Half-Life 1 mod, Team Fortress was a Half-Life 1 mod. I'm just thinking through all of that. But then, like, picture that in VR. But, like, Half-Life 2, he said, spawned off some of these games. Even he mentioned, you know, Gary's Mod, Cry of Fear. Gary's Mod in VR sounds like Barf Simulator 2020.
Oh, definitely.
That sounds terrible. Gary's Mod on a 2D plane on a TV makes me barf. I can't imagine being in VR.
That's awesome.
Jeez. So, another thing I was thinking was, and this has been talked about a couple times since Half-Life Alyx came out, but once they have the engine technology, how hard do you think it's going to be to make Portal VR?
Oh, probably really easy then.
Oh my goodness.
For all the fan projects, and also really barf intensive.
I would not mind barfing to play Portal VR. That sounds
amazing. I remember playing the Portal. You probably never played this, but Portal had a special demo, not even demo, like a special mini game, miniature game on PlayStation 3.
Okay.
Where if you owned the motion controllers and the camera, it was just a fully unique PS3 game, a Portal game with a unique like little story and everything. And it was so much fun to be like motioning around all your Portal guns and stuff. So, yeah, I would also be really excited for a VR Portal if I could stomach it. Because I can't even stomach, like, Subnautica in VR.
Oh, my God. Well, Subnautica is a special kind of game. There's something about the way that game controls that. That's one of the only games that's made me feel like barfing in VR.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what it is about Subnautica.
It makes me sad because Subnautica is amazing. And VR sounds amazing if I could survive it.
Now, here's a question. How long did you actually play Subnautica in VR?
I didn't last very long, maybe like 15 minutes.
Okay, I've played probably 3 or 4 hours in VR, and I physically could not bring myself to leave the shallows because it was too terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
That game is the most effective horror game I've ever experienced in VR.
That's so funny.
And it's not even meant to be a horror game, but especially because I know some of the stuff that's out there. And they do such a good job of, like, the cloudy water you can't really see through, just like you couldn't in a real ocean, that as soon as you hit the end of that shallows area you start in, and there's just, like, the cliff that drops and just open water, and the idea of, like, pushing the stick forward to force my character to swim deeper into the depths, it was too much. I couldn't do it. It was so scary. And I think I slowly went down into, like, the second area where there are the sharks. And a shark started chasing me, and I was just screaming. I couldn't. It was horrifying.
That's awesome.
So Subnautica VR is the scariest game that I have in VR. Oh, my goodness.
I remember being pretty terrified just, like, on a computer screen when you'd go off to the edge of the map. Because Subnautica is not a procedurally generated. It's a handcrafted map. And, like, just going up really high in the water and just looking down and not being able to see anything. Yes. Oh, my word. That like, terrified me, like, in front of a computer screen.
Well, and, like, there's some aspect of, you know, when you're in your, like, ship, like, you can get, like, your little scoot-around ship, or you have your little air or water blower that you sit on and rides you around. That makes things easier, and you feel a little safer, and especially as you get, like, the depth meter, you can go down further. You get to the bottom of the ocean where there's, like, big volcano-looking stuff. And that was cool and less scary than just cool. But then, like, man, when it's just the complete open ocean and, like, a Leviathan is just, like, barely visible. Oh, my gosh, that is too scary. It's too scary.
It's very scary. Great game, though. I could not recommend it more.
Yes, very, very good game. I didn't play. They did not have the mechs in the game when I played. They had just were about to introduce that, so I need to go back and play the full release version.
Oh wow, dude! Yeah, they've added a lot. Like that was the first. Funnily enough, that's the first Steam game ever where I got every achievement.
Oh, cool!
Yeah.
Also made by the same people who did Natural Selection 2, which we talked about earlier today.
Oh, I forgot about that. Look at that segue coming around full circle.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes, indeed.
That's the kind of quality you expect. You can learn to expect on Patient Players Podcast.
Indeed. Well, I think that just about does it for this week. So next week, we'll have to hear more about your Pokemon competitive play, right?
Oh yeah, next week when I'm Grandmaster top 500 Pokemans.
Mm-hmm. And we've got to hear all of our fans' wonderful New Zealand accents. Please send those in. And Kay, this is a little shout out to our friend Kay from the Abyss. Keep trekking out there with your laptop baby. Congratulations. Parenthood is always difficult, but especially in the Abyss. And beware of the light. It might be a trick.
Yep, I have nothing to add to that. Besides, if you can see what specs the laptop has and email us, that'd be cool, because I want to see how good the laptops are in the Abyss when you eat flash drives.
Oh, yeah. And email us back if you need an M2 drive, because they're on sale this weekend.
Yeah.
Have a great night, everyone.
All right, see you guys later.